Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Khan et al. Titled, Aldosterone Impairs Coronary Adenosine-Mediated Vasodilation via Reduced Functional Expression of Calcium-Activated Potassium Channels. This article was published June 14, 2019. Joining me today are consulting editor Donald O'Leary, lead author Sean Bender, and content expert Judy Muller-Delp. Let's get started.
Thank you, Cara. High plasma aldosterone is a risk factor for cardiovascular mortality and is independent of other major risk factors such as hypertension. This risk is even present when plasma aldosterone levels are in the high normal range. There is also an increased incidence of myocardial infarction in patients with primary hyperaldosteronism. However, potential mechanisms underlying the association of aldosterone with cardiac ischemic events remain unclear. During myocardial ischemia, interstitial adenosine levels rise, causing coronary vasodilation, and this is an important mechanism for cardioprotection. Impaired adenosine-induced coronary vasodilation has been reported in settings of activation of the renin-angiotensin aldosterone system. Whether elevated aldosterone contributes to impairment of coronary adenosine-mediated vasodilation was unknown. In this study, Khan and colleagues used a mouse model of 4 weeks infusion of the suppressor dose of aldosterone. They then removed the heart and isolated a segment of the left coronary artery to test the hypothesis that increased plasma aldosterone impairs adenosine-mediated coronary vasodilation, which they observed. Additional mechanistic studies revealed that high plasma aldosterone levels impaired adenosine A2A receptor-mediated vasodilation, but not vasodilation due to activation of adenosine A2B receptors. There was also a tendency for aldosterone to reduce adenosine A2A receptor gene expression, and aldosterone did reduce the gene expression of calcium-activated potassium channels. These results provide important insights into the link between plasma aldosterone and cardiac mortality and provide a template for possible treatments to reduce cardiac ischemic events in individuals with high plasma aldosterone. Sean, what do you feel are the most important aspects of your impressive study?
Well, thanks, Donald. I'd first like to point out what I think is a really important part of the study is that it was done largely by an undergraduate student in my lab, Mallory Khan, the first author of the paper. And she was supported by an APS STRIDE fellowship, summer research fellowship, in part. And so I think it speaks to her veracity to have achieved this during her undergraduate time. But back to your question, we're very interested in the link between aldosterone levels and cardiac outcomes. And my lab particularly focuses on the coronary circulation. And so the question for us was, does aldosterone directly mediate some of these effects in the coronary circulation? And so we have a background in some adenosine work in the coronary circulation as a cardioprotective mechanism. And so we started there. And I think some of the most significant parts of this study are the fact that our results were independent of blood pressure. So we used a dose of aldosterone that does not elevate blood pressure significantly. And we're able to delineate that this is via, as you pointed out, a downregulation of calcium-activated potassium channels. And so I think apart from the functional aspect of this, it also adds to a growing amount of evidence that aldosterone and likely the mineralocorticoid receptor plays a role in the regulation of ion channel expression in the vasculature in important end organs beyond what we've known about aldosterone and the mineralocorticoid receptor for decades in the kidney. And so I think there's a growing interest in how aldosterone and the mineralocorticoid receptor is mediating local effects of these hormones and this signaling in organs that are predisposed to dysfunction in a variety of clinical settings.
Judy, would you have comments, questions for Sean?
Yes, I think the first thing that comes to my mind, Sean, is what do you think about your results vis-a-vis general endothelium-dependent dysfunction and specifically the effects that you saw in terms of regulation of adenosine receptors and potassium channels? I guess what I am trying to ask you is, do you think there's a component of the effects of aldosterone that are potentially more generally endothelium specific? Or do you think that there are potentially mixed effects going on with the endothelium, the vascular smooth muscle? And if you had to think about it, could you separate those?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it would be possible to separate them using knockout models that are available, the endothelial specific and the smooth muscle cell specific. Mineralocorticoid receptor knockout mice are available, and we have worked with those. To your bigger question, my bias would be that there is a component of both the endothelial cell and the smooth muscle cell in maybe the more broad effects of circulating aldosterone on outcomes. The one thing that we're starting to understand more, particularly using knockout models, is that the role for the MR in any disease state is pretty context dependent. So we can't necessarily say that what happens in, say, this model of isolated elevations of aldosterone that don't increase blood pressure is also what's happening in a disease state where you have some other comorbid conditions superimposed on that. There is growing evidence that every circulation is not the same in the way that it behaves naturally, and you're aware of that, but it is also not the same in the way that it responds to comorbid conditions and risk factors. And so I think there is likely a component of endothelial and smooth muscle cell defects that may happen in the setting of high aldosterone levels. We noted endothelial dysfunction in this study when we infused aldosterone, and we've previously shown that in rat model as well when we infuse aldosterone. But we didn't pursue that as far as what was the mechanism of the endothelial dysfunction and how might that impact outcomes.
So I think that one of the things that you've already just stated, but which should be highlighted about this paper that I really thought was important, was the fact that you pretty much did all this work exclusively in the coronary circulation. And I think the gene expression being done in particular in the coronary circulation relative to the pharmacological work that you did really speaks to the fact that this is potentially coronary bed specific, but you have done your work in a way that really doesn't leave that as a question. So I guess from that as a follow-up, I would ask you, if you were to really try and target this problem, do you think you would think about therapeutically? Do you think you would try and target the MR receptors? Do you think you would specifically try and target the adenosine receptors? Or do you think you would try and target the potassium channels themselves?
It's a good question. My bias tends to be go as early in the process as you can. And so I think my initial knee-jerk response to that question would be to block the mineralocorticoid receptor and try to do what we can to preserve adenosine-mediated vasodilation as much as possible. I think one of the interesting things about this study that surprised us was that the left ventricular coronary artery that we used in these studies had a much more modest dilation A2A activation than A2B activation. And so we make the point in the paper that that in some ways is very different from larger animals, say pigs and dogs, that have a dominant A2A-mediated vasodilation to adenosine as opposed to A2B. And so if anything, I think our study could be important, but in some ways underestimates the impact of aldosterone on adenosine-induced vasodilation. Because when you look at the adenosine response in our paper, generally speaking, it's 20 to 25% reduced, but the dilation is dominantly mediated by the A2B receptor. And so I would anticipate that if we did this in a larger animal or in a human, that there would be more of an impairment. And so therapeutically, then I would say let's just cut this off as early as we can and try to block the MR and prevent that dysfunction to begin with, or reverse that dysfunction. I suppose it's more relevant in humans that we would be reversing something than actually trying to prevent it.
Have you looked at, or has anyone looked at, this relationship with changes in flow due to adenosine and its attenuation by aldosterone versus ventricular function?
Not that I'm aware of, and I think that would be the next step of this whole thing. So if we show that adenosine-induced dilation is impaired by aldosterone, well, then the next question becomes, well, what's the impact of this ultimately on cardioprotection? And so I think that's where you get into a really interesting mix of some whole heart experiments, but also ideally using the knockout mice where you're able to isolate the effect of aldo on the circulation itself, because it is known that aldosterone affects cardiac function negatively if it's chronic. So you have changes in cardiac conduction and increased risk of arrhythmias, and there's changes in cardiac function and some calcium handling mechanisms. And so there's enough going on in the myocytes themselves that you really would need to look at this in a knockout model infused with aldosterone and then some sort of either in vivo manipulation or, say, a working heart or Langendorf perfusion system to look at the effect of this ultimately on ventricular function, as you pointed out. But I think that's one of the next steps of this would be to actually take it into the whole heart and say, does this defect in adenosine dilation impair the cardioprotection that this mechanism is designed to provide to the heart?
Sean, that does bring me to a question, which is, if you were going to go forward with in vivo experiments, I would assume, but correct me if I'm wrong, given the generally accepted role that adenosine plays, you would need to do this in some sort of a, you would have to pace the heart, you would have to do something that involves some, if you could, some relatively high intensity exercise, or you would have to do something where you definitely stress the heart. Is that correct? If you really wanted to isolate adenosine-mediated dilation, then you need to use something other than a resting or a basal level. Is that correct?
Yeah, you'd need something for sure that you can elicit some ischemia or hypoxia. So whether it's ischemia reperfusion injury or pacing model or something that's really going to stress the heart to the extent that you are eliciting a mismatch of flow and metabolism such that you recruit this mechanism.
So, Sean, we know that women, especially with advancing age and postmenopausally, are more at risk for coronary microvascular disease. So I'm just wondering if you could discuss what you think the role of the mineral corticoid receptor is in terms of regulating coronary vascular function in males versus females, and if you plan to do any work to address that.
Yeah, I think that's a great question and a really important one since we did this study exclusively in males. I would expect, just based on emerging evidence, that there may be sex differences in the impairment of adenosine dilation or the mechanism of impairment of adenosine dilation by aldosterone and downstream activation of the mineralocorticoid receptor. There's quite a bit of evidence coming out now, particularly in comorbid conditions like high-fat diet-induced obesity. There's some evidence in atherosclerotic models. A lot of that's from Iris Jaffe's lab at Tufts Medical Center in Boston. And they do a nice job of delineating that there are either differences in, say, the way that a dysfunction occurs or the extent to which a dysfunction occurs by aldosterone and activation of the mineralocorticoid receptor. So I think that we would want to address that question here to get at that for exactly the reason that you pointed out, that women have a much higher likelihood of coronary microvascular dysfunction contributing to ultimate cardiac outcomes, poor cardiac outcomes, relative to men that tend to have more coronary atherosclerotic disease as a primary insult for poor cardiac outcomes. And so I think that, you know, initial steps there would be to do what we've done in this study in males and females, so infuse a suppressor level of aldosterone and evaluate this mechanism. And then ultimately, we could take that into knockout models, the cell-specific knockout models, which incidentally, there's evidence already that, say, endothelial deletion of the mineralocorticoid receptor is protective against Western diet-induced cardiac diastolic dysfunction, similar to systemic blockade of the mineralocorticoid receptor. So I think there is an important question that needs to be addressed there, not just in this setting, but in other aspects of diseases that contribute to activation of the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system.
I'd like to thank Sean and Judy for the participation. I think this has been a lively discussion, and I've certainly learned a lot. And thank you, Cara, for your introduction.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.